Three series are now in the books in the NPB as the start of the season is underway, and we're going to take a look at all the import players that are making an impact, or maybe not, with their respective clubs on today's Japan Baseball Report.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
Well, three series are in the books as we record this on a Tuesday in North America. The fourth series for the Japan baseball is beginning or has begun as of Tuesday. We'll take a look at all the import players who have done damage or have damaged their teams over those first three series. It is something to note that when an import player comes in, you have to produce and you got to produce right away to make an impact or you will be gone. And that's usually what happens, not just in Japan, but pretty much anywhere. You think of the winter leagues that go on in the off season, the American players that have to go down into Venezuela and places like Puerto Rico and the Dominican. If they're not producing, they're gone pretty quick. So they need to have instant impact. And they also have to be better than the players they already have. And so we'll take a look at each team here. Not everybody has the depth of import players. And certainly the positional players are not as many as there are on the mound. But today we are going to look and focus on those who swing the bat. We're first going to take a peek at the Yomiuri Giants. The Yomiuri Giants have two players that have made an impact already on their season. They've got Trey Cabbage, who was with the Houston Astros, also with the Pirates organization, as well as the Angels in the last few years of Major League Baseball. He's got himself off to a pretty good start. He had a bit of a wonky spring, but once the real season and the lights have come on, he has been very, very good. He's had 37 at-bats. He has scored 6 runs. He's had 15 hits, batting .405. But the extra base production with 6 of the 15 hits going for extra bases, 4 doubles and a couple of home runs. And he's been a run producer with 6 RBIs. That has been a big impact for him. He's been playing in right field. He's also played some first base. And they've also had him in center field at times. So Cabbage has been a instant impact for sure, with the center fielder Maru, or the regular center fielder Maru, going down with a hamstring injury. He's going to be out for a significant amount of time. They had to shuffle the outfield around a little bit, did the Yomiuri Giants, but Trey Cabbage is certainly giving them the instant impact that they needed. Also in the outfield, another bat for the Giants is Elier Hernandez. Now, Hernandez not off to the maybe great start that Cabbage has, as pales a little bit in comparison, but he definitely is producing. He's had 33 at-bats, and he's got 9 hits. And 3 of those 9 hits were for extra bases as he hit doubles. He's driven in 3. He's walked 4 times and struck out 8 with a batting average of .273. Hernandez has predominantly been playing in left field. He has seen a little bit of time in center in the exhibition season. As we mentioned, part of the problem is with Maru out, they have experimented with different players going into left field, with Okamoto being one of them. But we'll have to see how that's going to play out long term. They want to see what type of roster flexibility that they have. But certainly the two players for the Giants have been impactful. Last year they had Coco Montes patrolling in the outfield, and he really started off hot. The former Colorado Rocky ended up signing back in North America for the 2025 campaign. So that is where the Giants stand at this point right now, with their two offensive players really flexing their muscles. Next team we'll take a look at is the Chinichi Dragons. Right now, the only import player that has seen action has been Orlando Calixte. And we'll talk about the others in just a couple moments, but Calixte has really struggled out of the gate. And it's interesting, they've got him playing first base. Last year, their import player was Dayan Viseiro, who had played a number of seasons with the Dragons. The former Chicago White Sox was knocked out of that position when it was Jose Abreu had come in to Chicago and displaced Viseiro, who was not bad by his own right in Major League Baseball, but he had a long career in the NPB. And last year, you could see that his game was starting to fall off. Well, Calixte has been playing some first base, and he is 3 for 24 to begin the year. He's batting .125. He's striking out at a 1/3 rate. He has 8 strikeouts in those 24 at-bats. One of his hits has gone for extra bases. He did have a triple, and he's driven in a run. But Calixte, who was mainly a middle-type player, can play in the outfield. First base, not really his forte. He has been pressed into that position, be able to produce for the Dragons. A couple players that haven't seen any action yet at the NPB level. Jason Vossler, who had come over. Vossler was in spring training off to a pretty good start. He was hitting .333 and ended up getting hurt. He has started to appear in a couple of farm games. He is 2-for-5 in those ones, and we would expect that his debut in the NPB is coming close. They've brought him in for a productive bat, so keep your eye on that with Vossler returning into the side. And another one who hasn't seen any action yet is Christian Rodriguez. Rodriguez will have to wait and see where he fits in their plans, if at all, as he is another bat that the Dragons will be looking at to use as well. Well, that is that. We'll move over to the Carp. And the first one out of the gate is Sandro Fabian. We got a chance to watch Fabian play a couple of times in the exhibition season, and he looked rather scary in the outfield. He wasn't doing much with the bat, but much like Trey Cabbage of the Giants, as soon as the lights came on for real, he has been producing at a pretty good volume, and he had a breakout this past weekend against the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. He is 8-for-29 on the season, and he has 3 doubles and a home run, and he's driven in 5. At the same time, he's not really striking out. He's putting the ball in play. He's only had 4 strikeouts in those 29 at-bats, but he has only walked one time. He's hitting .276. One of the knocks on Fabian that we noted was his poor play on the defensive side. He is a left fielder, so he's more of a bat first than a position player. But Fabian, if he can fix some of his defensive shortcomings, certainly the bat is what he's been brought in for. It'll really help the Carp moving forward. And the Carp in the exhibition season were shut out 5 times, including 3 games in a row. And they have been offensively challenged in the early going. Although against the Bay Stars over the weekend, they put up 23 runs in 3 games against Yokohama. So he has been a part of that, and that's an important part of the Carp moving forward. The other player that the Carp have that they are expecting huge impact from, although he hasn't delivered yet, is Elijarius Montero. For those of you who might recall, Elijarius Montero was a corner piece in the trade from the St. Louis Cardinals to the Colorado Rockies for Nolan Arenado. And Arenado, the everyday third baseman for the Cardinals, Montero never really got it going in Colorado, and he ended up being the odd man out. And so he's got the job in Hiroshima. He's off to a slow start. He is 1-for-11 with 1 RBI. He has struck out 4 times, and he's hitting below 100 at .091. But Montero is a big fella. They're expecting him to be able to put some balls into the seats, and then he will supply some power for them. We've seen him more as DH. He is. Looks like he may play some first base. Not sure how much third base he'll get an opportunity to play with Kaito Kizono manning the position at the hot corner. But Montero is somebody that they are in hoping that they can get some impact for. I think of the Carp over the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, they had Davison, but they've really missed on some of their players that they brought over from North America, haven't really given them the bat or the consistency that they've wanted. And now, of course, you've got 2 more players that are coming in here, and it's hopefully going to be able to settle the ball club down to give them some decent offensive production. We'll take a little time out, and we'll finish off the rest of the Central League when we return on today's Japan Baseball Report. Stay with us, everybody. Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastdraftsbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season. One of the teams that has had some continuity over the last few years has been the Yakult Swallows, as Jose Osuna and Domingo Santana have been a major part of their offense. Jose Osuna came a few years ago from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he is off to a decent start by his standards. He is maybe not quite where he wants to be. He is 8 for 32. He scored 4 runs. 5 of those 8 hits have gone for extra bases, and they've all been doubles. He's driven in a couple of runs. And he, like we mentioned about Sandro Fabian, puts the ball in play. He's only struck out 3 times in his 32 at-bats while hitting 250. Osuna has played pretty much first base for the Swallows, and he also gives them a reliable glove defensively. But that is a settling piece when you have your import players come in and they stick around for a few years filling the void, and Osuna has done that quite nicely for the Swallows. The other player that we had mentioned is Domingo Santana. Domingo Santana, he is 6 for 30 to begin the year, so a little off by his standards. He's always been up in the top of the hitting in many offensive categories in the Central League. He has scored 5 runs. He has a homer and 1 RBI, and he is striking out at a little faster clip than we would have anticipated, as he's 13 strikeouts in those 30 at-bats, and batting at 200. Santana, one-time 30-home-run man in Major League Baseball, he had bounced around a bit as he was with the Mariners, the Brewers, the Texas Rangers, and others, and he has seemingly found a home in Japan. When watching him play, much like our comments about Sandro Fabian, he can be a little bit scary in the outfield. His defensive play is a little bit dicey at times, but when he can provide the bat that he does, obviously that makes up for some of his defensive shortcomings, but he'll need to get it going. And the other thing, too, that we see with players is that in the case of Santana and Osuna, because they've been there for a few years and they've been proven in the NPB, they will get a longer lifeline because the expectation is their game will come around. Some of the other players that we'll talk about moving forward, maybe on a lot shorter leash, if they're not producing, they don't have time to waste with guys to figure it out unless they've got a lot of money invested in them to be able to produce. Bounce over and check in quickly on the Hanshin Tigers. Not much to really report. Ramon Hernandez, the only import offensive player to see action. He has had 1 at-bat, and it was a strikeout. So Sheldon Noisy was with the ball club the last couple of years, and Noisy got released a little bit towards the end of last season as the Tigers were moving in another direction. Pretty much a homegrown team offensively, and you see some of that where some of the teams, they don't necessarily need the import bats as much as they need the import arms. And they have loaded themselves up with arms, or at least they have more arms to the Tigers in this particular case. But certainly their offense and the players that they have is more of a domestic type lineup. And Hernandez is going to have to find his way in there eventually through either injury or poor play. He's just going to have to buy his time and wait for an opportunity to present itself. We skip over to the Yokohama DeNA BayStars, and really only one player worth talking about on the offensive side there, and that's Tyler Austin. Austin off to a little bit of a sluggish start, and he has been sent down to the farm team for 10 days because of what has been cited in the papers as a lower body conditioning issue, which probably means he's got some sort of issue. I don't remember in the playoffs last year in the Japan series, he'd fouled the ball off his foot, and it had put him out of action for a couple of games, but he certainly is an impactful bat in their lineup. Tyler Austin in 22 at-bats has 5 hits. 3 of those have been for doubles. He's driven in 3 runs. He's struck out 4 times and walked 4 times. He's only hitting .227, but just his presence in the middle of the order, certainly hitting with Shugo Maki around him and others, can really catch fire and get going. They can start feeding off one another. But Tyler Austin, who is now on the north side of 30, has had a number of productive years. Unfortunately for him, with regards to Major League Baseball, he was never really able to stay healthy. He was a New York Yankee, and he looked like he was going to be taking over that first base position, and then a series of injuries besieged him. On top of that, he ended up bouncing around a little bit with a few different organizations, the Twins, the Giants, and others. Now he has found a home in Yokohama, and he's been locked in there for a few seasons. Expect that once he gets healthy, that his numbers will be very productive, as last year he was among the leaders in many offensive categories in the NPB. We're going to take a little time out again, and then we're going to flip over and have a look at the Pacific League and see what they have to offer. We'll be right back after this. Hang tight, everybody. Appreciate you for being here with us. whether you listen on YouTube or on one of our podcast network hosts, it's always great to have you listening in. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Wraps Baseball. Join our Facebook group called NPB Japan Baseball Report. Connect with other fans of the Japanese game. If you aren't on Facebook, be sure to bookmark our YouTube channel for live events in the 2025 season. Well, the Oryx Buffaloes are next, and they've got a couple of import players that they're going to be relying on, and only one at this point has seen action, and that's Edward Olivares. Olivares has had 14 at-bats. He's had four hits, hitting .286. None of them have gone for extra bases. He's only struck out a couple of times. Olivares with the Kansas City Royals is expected to produce some offense in terms of power, again, for the Buffaloes. What's interesting is the Buffaloes, over the last couple of years, they let Leandro Cedeño go because it looks like they have a couple of other options that they could use over at first base. Cedeño did catch on with the Saitama Cebu Lions, and we'll get to him in a few minutes. But certainly filling the need in the outfield. And second base has been a bit of a black hole for the Buffaloes over the last few years. The retirement of Rio Adachi at second base, as well as the outfielders in different spots, have not necessarily locked down the consistency. Sugimoto in right, Nakagawa and Nishikawa across the outfield, when healthy and when playing well, are probably the number one options for the Buffaloes. But certainly that is something that they will have to keep their eyes on, how they're going to use Olivares and how they're going to use the others moving forward. Olivares getting an opportunity to play and contributing a little bit, as we mentioned here. Certainly the start of the Buffaloes really surprising, as they got off to 7 wins in their first 8 games. And that's going to make it hard for Olivares to keep his place in the lineup if he's not producing every day, but he is getting his opportunities now, and we'll see how that plays out over the long haul. Speaking of Leandro Cedeño, our next team up is the Saitama Cebu Lions. And Cedeño had spent the last couple of years with the Buffaloes. I remember seeing him a couple of years ago, and he was wearing a training number. He was like 125 in the games, and I always catch that as being a little bit humorous. But he had himself a streaky, I guess I would put it, spring, as he did have some moments where he has flashed pretty well. And certainly Cedeño and his running mate Tyler Nevin, who are two new import players. Last year, it was Jesus Aguiar, the one-time All-Star, MLB All-Star, as well as Franchi Cordero, and they never really fit in. They were gone pretty quick and quickly disposed of once the Saitama Cebu Lions started to find themselves into a, I don't know other than to describe it, a horrific run. They almost were on pace at one point in early July. We talked about it before on some of our other streams, as they were on pace to lose 100 games. But they started playing better ball in the month of August and took it into September, and they were able to avoid that dubious mark. Cedeño off to a, as I said, a bit of a sluggish start. He's 5-for-25, batting an even 200. He doesn't have any homers yet. He does have 3 RBIs. And certainly if he can get going, and there does look like there's some potential at the top of the order with the rookie Watanabe in that mix as well in the top five, as well as Shinya Hasegawa, and also a couple of other players that are going to be featured with Tyler Nevin and others. It has displaced Sosuke Genda out of the top couple of spots, and so we'll have to see how that ends up playing out for the Lions. Our other player that we talked about was Tyler Nevin. Tyler Nevin, the son of Phil Nevin, the former Los Angeles Angels manager, had a really hot spring. He had himself the lead in RBIs, but he has kind of gone off and tripped a little bit getting out of the gate. He's 6-for-27, batting .222. I wonder if the league has caught on to him, or at least maybe they have a book on him, or they figure out how they're going to pitch him. He doesn't have any home runs. He does have 3 RBIs, has a couple of walks and 5 strikeouts, so he does put the ball in play. Nevin getting the opportunity to play quite a bit of first base, which I would have maybe figured that he would have been playing in the outfield, but with the emergence of Watanabe in left field, and we are obviously the domestic player who's a rookie, started the season with 6 games with hits consecutively, has made that an easier option for the Saitama Cebu Lions in which to play. So Nevin playing in the infield, and then Cedeno being the DH, that is where they have kind of put those ones there. But I would expect that Nevin could move over to the hot corner at third, where he played most of his time in Major League Baseball, or he could be deployed in the outfield because they do list him as an outfielder in the event that somebody starts to get a little bit shaky or their game isn't good enough in the outfield, with Cedeno being allowed to come in to play some first base. So we'll have to see how that plays out eventually over time, once the manager figures out if they have to make a couple of moves to light fires under their players. Our next one is Jeter Downs as we move over to Fukuoka. And for the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks, Jeter Downs is an interesting piece. In some ways, they signed Freddie Galvis a couple years ago, and that was a two-year deal that really didn't work out as expected. Galvis was sent down a couple of times to the farm, and he basically was at the end of his, or the twilight of his career, after spending 9-plus seasons at the major league level. Jeter Downs, probably his biggest claim to fame was being a part of the trade from the Dodgers to the Red Sox, in part for Mookie Betts. 2-for-17 to begin the year. He's struck out 4 times. He does steal some bases, as he's got a couple of stolen bases, but he's only hitting 118 at the moment. He plays the middle infield. He can play shortstop and he can play second base. But certainly the offensive numbers are going to have to pick up, because with Kenta Imamiya playing shortstop, and there is a number of others that will be pressing to play second base, he's going to have to pick up his offense to keep his place in the lineup. But Jeter Downs, when he does get on base, is an exciting player, as he can move around the bags. So we'll have to see how that plays out for him in Fukuoka. Just thinking about the Hawks, they had a good run there when they had won their championships. They had Vladimir Ballantyne and Yrisbel Graciel were real important bats in their lineup. And they really haven't locked down anybody since then that has given them that regular import presence that those players had. And in fact, they had even brought back Ballantyne after they had released Willens Astudillo. Astudillo was supposed to give them what Ballantyne gave them and never really did a couple of years ago. But Ballantyne, of course, a little long in the tooth for this level of play, and they had moved on from there. Again, we're going to take another little time out, and then we're going to come back and we're going to have a look at the rest of the Pacific League. And then we're going to give you our power rankings on who we think that is the best of the best right now, the import players. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Rouse Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, found on the Last Rouse Baseball YouTube channel and wherever you download your podcasts.
Next up is the Chibolote Marines, and they have seemingly found themselves a bit of a partnership, as they have themselves Gregory Polanco and Neftali Soto hitting the middle of their lineup. For Polanco, he does get some outfield play, the one-time Pittsburgh Pirate, longtime Pittsburgh Pirate, as he was a part of a pretty good outfield that featured Andrew McCutchen and Starling Marte. Polanco is 6-for-30 to begin the year, batting an even 200. He doesn't have any home runs yet. He does have a couple RBIs, and he has struck out 8 times in those 30 at-bats. But one would expect that when he gets it going, he is going to be among the statistical leaders in both home runs and RBIs in the Pacific League. Polanco, a really big presence for the Marines, batting from the left side and pretty much a regular in the order, in the middle of the order. He is expected to be a huge run producer for them. Polanco defensively, not quite the player that he was, is... Well, there was a lot of injuries that slowed him down in North America, but it is nice to see that he has found himself his footings again in baseball. And the Marines are his second team. He actually started with the Yomiuri Giants, but he has been very productive with the Marines and it seemingly has found a home. The other player in his second season with the Marines is Neftali Soto. Soto had spent time a number of years with the Yokohama DeNA BayStars. And he came over last year and was quite productive. And he's off to a decent start. He is 8-for-30. He has no doubles, no triples, but he does have 3 home runs to lead all of the import players with six runs driven in. And he's batting .267. Soto has been playing first base, and he also gets an opportunity to DH sometimes when Polanco is in the field. And there is a lot expected, but both of those players feeding off one another, being major producers for the Marines. I harken back a couple of years ago when it was Leonis Martin and Brandon Laird who were giving the Marines some consistency for a few seasons. And that's what Soto and Polanco are doing here. Veteran bats who are able to steady the lineup and give them what they need. The Marines were off to a hot start as they went in and swept the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks at the PayPay Dome. But they have cooled off a little bit here over their last few games as they're just playing slightly above the 500 mark. Well, flip over and take a look at the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. And the Golden Eagles are an interesting piece as Mikhail Franco is in his third year with the Eagles. Over the past few seasons, since 2023, he has been pretty much their lone import offensive player worth talking about. When you go back a little bit, in 2022, they had Chris Gittens and Jose Marmolejos. Gittens was often injured, and in fact, he had to leave a game because I think he had fractured a rib on a swing, if I recall correctly. Jose Marmolejos was a AAA MVP in North America, or at least in America, and he never got it going. He was striking out at about a 35% rate, and that was a short-lived experiment. 2021, they had Rusny Castillo and Brandon Dixon. And for those of you who may not remember Rusny Castillo, he was inked by the Boston Red Sox to a multi-year deal around $75 million. They threw a ton of money his way, and he was an absolute bust in Major League Baseball. And then they had Brandon Dixon, who had a career breakout year for the Detroit Tigers, also spent time with the Cincinnati Reds organization and Padres, amongst others. But Dixon came over and really never settled in Tohoku. Going back to 2020, they had Stefan Romero and Jabari Blash. Well, Romero produced. He was pretty decent. He had some time in the NPB, not only with Tohoku. He'd spent time with the Fighters and others. Jabari Blash had a couple of seasons in Tohoku, but they were not necessarily what I would call the most productive of what you would expect from an import player. Zelis Wheeler was also part of that team in 2019, and he was pretty decent. He produced. He was there in 2019 and 2018. But back in 2018, it was Sequoyah Dixon and Carlos Peguero, also as import players, again, not really producing. So you have to ask yourself or have to ask the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles really how they value the players and what they're looking for and how they recruit their international players, because certainly the players that they have brought in have not been as impactful on the offensive side as one would think. And that takes us to Mikhail Franco, who this year it's his third season with the club. He's off to a pretty good start, and that is good news as the former major leaguer is 6-for-18 with a couple of doubles to begin the year and a couple RBIs, batting that .333. He has played third base. He has played first base. He's kind of a corner guy in the infield, and he has been the designated hitter. But much like, as we mentioned earlier about the ball club in Chinichi, so too is the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. They roll out a domestic lineup pretty regular. And so Franco is really the only international option that they have at this particular time. And if he can contribute like he has started this year, that's a big boon and a shot in the arm for the Eagles moving forward. Well, our last team that we're going to look at is the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. The Fighters feature a couple of impact players, one of them off to a bit of a slow start, and that is Ariel Martinez. Martinez listed as a catcher. We really haven't seen him catch a whole lot these days in Hokkaido, as they have other and younger options. Martinez off to a slow start. He's 1-for-10, and he has struck out 7 times. But his pedigree and what he's done over the last few years, one would expect he's going to get a very long leash to be able to dig himself out of any particular problems. And Martinez, the Cuban, well, he came over to Japan a few years ago. He began his career with the Chinichi Dragons as a catcher. And one of the pieces was the first time that an import player was a regular catcher in over 20 years. And as we said, he does get a little bit of time behind the plate, But that is going, it looks like it is going to be a regular of Yua Tamiya, as well as Tori Fushimi will probably be the two catchers that they'll be leaning on in Hokkaido this year. But Martinez has played first base, and he plays fairly decent. And so we would expect that he will be an impactful player moving through the season and down the stretch. But the big impact last year was that of Franmil Reyes. The Franimal, as he was once known in North America, had a 25-game hit streak during the 2024 season. He was sent down early as he was struggling last year. And once he came back with a vengeance. And he has given the Fighters exactly what they have wanted for and what they need, a power bat with consistency in the middle of the order. This year, he is off to a 8-for-23 start. He's batting .348. He's got a couple of homers and three RBIs. He's also only struck out five times, which is key to note. But Reyes has been putting the ball into play with authority and a very, very dangerous piece in the middle of the order. We're going to take one more time out. We'll come on back and we'll finish this one up as we're going to give you our power rankings, who we think the top five import bats are in the Japanese League. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Rouse Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Rouse Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. Well, we started the stream with Trey Cabbage, and we're going to end the stream with Trey Cabbage, as we believe right now that he is the most impactful import in the NPB at the moment. As we mentioned at the top of the stream, he's hitting north of 400 through the first three series that wrapped up on the past weekend of April the 6th. He is definitely right now giving the Yomiuri Giants all that it is worth. Our number two in the order would be Franmil Reyes, who we just talked about, off to a really good start for the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. And then the sorting 3, 4, and 5, all pretty close. Neftali Soto, we figure, is the third most impactful bat and import. Sandro Fabian, who has caught us by surprise, certainly after the weekend he had against Yokohama, he slides in with the number four spot. The number five spot in our rankings is the other giant, that is Elier Hernandez, who they expect a lot of in Yomiuri as well. Well, that is our power rankings, as we figure Trey Cabbage will be the number one at this point. When we do this again, we'll see how the top five will shuffle around, or if they shuffle around, when we come back and give you the next import report with the hitters. We are going to give you a pitcher's report in the next couple of days, so stay tuned for that, as we will cover the weekend as well. And then also, too, we will give you some more updates as we move along in the next couple of days with regards to the league. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. It's, again, great to have you with us, whether you're on YouTube or listening to one of our podcasts. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll catch you again on the next one.